time limited.
That
time,
even, right.
Time and clothes.
That is correct. That is correct.
Almost like a subject.
Right, but that's why he has to. That's why the Truma Kadesh has to decide this. But he decides.
Time is not really his own.
That's what he says. That even though you might think that his time is not his own because it's narrowly limited, but since he is paid by the piecework and really within each individual day he can do it when he wants, he's not protected by what Rav's quote. Okay? But he is relieved for penalty for those two barrels that he was called back in the middle because of his wife, because Ishtoka Gufo Vitrumat Adeshin says, and therefore he's allowed to. Now, what about those four barrels? They're missing the other four. The missing four. On this, the Trumat Adeshin says, this is a case which we haven't really yet studied in the Gemara, but since the Trumat Adeshin brings it up, we will just summarize the problems here. This is a very complicated issue. This is where a contract is broken through no deliberate act of either party, and no fault of either party. Right? In other words, this is a hurricane struck, or some untoward, unforeseen event has occurred. Yeah, but who bears the risk? If I make a deal with you, Mr. Free, to do something, right? And then force majeure intervenes, who bears the risk?
An act of God.
Yeah, but who bears the risk?
Who pays? Who pays for it?
Who's not liable?
With a flood.
Yeah, but who pays for it?
Who is stuck? Which party is stuck? Which party is stuck with it?
Who will promise to pay? Who will make the deal?
He gave him in advance.
He gave him in advance.
They both made the deal.
No, I think Mr. Fried is onto something here. What the Gemara says in this issue is, when you have a situation of risk, the Gemara says the situation is as follows. When you have a situation of risk, and both parties have an equal ability to assess the risk, in other words, they are both possessed of all the necessary information to assess the risk, then, as Mr. Fried says, Hamotzimi Chavero Ala Haraya, the plaintiff has to prove that the fault, so to speak, it's not really fault, lies with the defendant. You cannot collect money in a situation where both people were equally disposed relative to the risk. But in a situation where they are not both equally equipped to assess the risk. The Gemara says, for example, suppose I hire some workers to irrigate my field, and these workers don't know anything about my field, and on occasion the water pressure drops and they can't do it. All right? Now I know that there is a danger here of the water pressure dropping because I'm familiar with that being a plausible risk. They, not even having any familiarity with my field circumstances, are unable to assess that risk in their mind, so that therefore they could not have made a protective clause to protect themselves. If I wanted to protect myself in that situation, I should have made a clause. So that therefore, in that type of a situation, the Gemara says, the burden of risk falls on the party who is best able to assess the risk. So therefore, the Trumat Adeshin decides in this case that there's a difference between these four barrels, between the case where the anti-Semitic intervened. On the question of the anti-Semitic intervention, neither the wine merchant nor the worker had any more information than the other party. Right? They were both citizens of the same country. They knew that this person was around. It was an unforeseen circumstance. No one of them had any more way of knowing what was about to happen or assessing the risk or protecting himself against the risk than the other. Therefore, under that circumstance, the worker pays. He loses. Because since they were both equal, he cannot collect his salary. The employer is not obligated to pay the salary because he's the defendant, so to speak, in this case. But, he says, in the case where the supplier became cranky and uncooperative, the other two barrels, where the supplier just said, well, I picked all of my grapes and on, the wine merchant obviously knew his customers. the worker, the mashgiach, doesn't know the customers of the wine merchant. He's just going around to these various places that the wine merchant sent him to. And therefore, he says, since the Baal HaBayit, since the wine merchant is able to be assessed better, he is the one that has to bear the burden. Okay, so that therefore, the final decision of the Truma Sadeshin here is that the worker is entitled to payment for 8 barrels of wine. The 4 that he produced, the partial payment on the 2 that he didn't finish the job, and the 2 that the supplier was cranky about and simply acted in an irresponsible fashion, that is the that risk falls on the on the wine merchant. And therefore, what he has to do, so he is entitled to 8/10 of his salary, less whatever the normal salary was to Reuven to finish the job.
How did they calculate the anti-Semitism?
He's saying that the worker pays for, because since they were equally informed as to the possibility of that occurring, that's like a hurricane strike, right? Neither the wine merchant nor the mashgiach could have anticipated any better than the other what was going to happen. So he's not getting paid for that. He's getting paid for 8 barrels of wine, less whatever it would normally cost to finish the job on the 2 that he didn't finish.
Well,
he
didn't get paid for that one.
What?
The anti-Semitic
let's go again. There were 4 barrels of wine which were not produced. 2 of them the worker is going to pay for, and 2 of them the merchant is going to pay for. Right? The 2 that were not produced because of improper behavior on the part of the vintner got drunk and didn't want to provide the wine, that's the wine merchant's responsibility, because it's his obligation to know his customers. Since he was the one that he is the one that knows his suppliers, he is the one that knows. So therefore, if this guy had a bad personality, he shouldn't have sent the worker to him. He should have made it a different arrangement. Therefore, that risk is to be assumed by the merchant. The other 2 barrels, which was a force majeure that neither one nor the other could have assessed in advance, that risk is assumed by the worker. So the worker gets paid for 8 out of the 10, less whatever the normal market price was to finish the 2 that were not finished. He is not penalized for going home in the middle of the night to be sick. You're entitled, even in the case of a davar avud, to leave the job and go home to take care of your wife if she falls sick. And he is not to be penalized for the lack of supply by a supplier, but it was the wine merchant's
responsibility.
Okay? So it's a beautiful tshuva, but I sort of summarized the main points of it rather than reading. If there's another amusing thing that he says on the next page, so let's turn. So on the second line from the top, this is more in the form of amusement, because he's not clear that he takes this too seriously. Ubal habayit shehu ashir, a wealthy householder, hasocher mesharet u'mesharetet, the man has a maid and a butler. Right? And they want to quit in the middle. Neither he nor his wife know how to take care of the house. They've never done a stitch of housework in their life. They've been always used to, it's a rich family, and are always used to having servants do the job. The dishes will all get broken, what have you, if they don't have their household help. Nevertheless, he says, I'm not putting this down as a final decision on that matter. He's throwing it out as a possibility that spoiled rich brats who have no idea of how to take care of their own household, it's conceivable that a quitting of the household help may be considered a davar avud. Okay. All right, so much for the Truma Sadeshin. Okay. Now let's turn to a couple of centuries later, really one century later, this is the 16th century. And this is another one of my heroes, and we study his Chubut all the time. This is the Maharashtam, Rabbi Shmuel ben Medina, the great, great rabbi of Saloniki in the 16th century. Okay? In this case, the She'ela is interesting. Of the Tshuva, he sort of gets tired in the middle and decides to work. He was one of the great, great, great men. I mean, very courageous and very original. And, you know, his rule was, his word was law. But here, the case
Sparty?
Is...
Huh? Where's that Sparty? Did he do
that? Yeah, he's from the exiles of Spain originally, but he was living in the Saloniki. No, Spain. Many did. Yeah. Most did. Many did. Okay, here's the case. Reuven sachared Shimon l'zman shalosh shanim. Reuven hired Shimon for 3 years. She yeshev ba'ado b'Venetia lasot b'masao u'matano. Reuven hired Shimon to be his merchandising agent in Venice. Branch manager in Venice. Ritzoni lomar, kabalat u'mechirat sorotav u'sham u'shlichut mu'atam. To receive and sell his merchandise and send the money back to Reuven. And he hired him on a yearly wage. About 3 or 4 months after Shimon's arrival in Venice, in Venice was so much higher than he anticipated that he couldn't save any money, couldn't earn any living from his salary, because he was being paid a fixed amount in salary, and it was costing him more than that to live.
He's not a kablan.
No, he's not a kablan. But he, you know, here's the poor man's situation. He was sent away from home to Venice to be the sales rep of this particular producer, and he was paid a certain salary, thinking that the cost of living in Venice was the same as the cost of living in, I don't know where he came from, some small town. And now the big city, you know, living in Venice, the rents are pretty high, food is expensive, they can't manage.
Okay.
Right? The katavlo kidvarim ha'ed. So he therefore, Shimon, wrote to Reuven, da ki einu tzani l'shevet po. I don't want to stay here. Ki ha'utza'a yetera al ha'shevach. My expenses are more than my income. I only left home to make some money and not to lose my capital. After you receive this notification, don't send me any more merchandise. Whatever merchandise you sent before having received my notice, a sheif ho ad boam, I'll wait here until they arrive, ve'em karam ve'elechli, ve'ofen shelo yirayelecha shum nezek ba'adbi, in such a way that you will not incur any loss. He is resigning from his position, but he's giving enough notice to the owner that the owner will not sustain any loss. Well, but maybe again, the Dabar Ha'aved. Right? He's, on the one hand, he's allowed to quit in the middle, because Po'el Chozer Bo'afilu V'chatzi Ayom, as Mr. Fried says, he's a salaried employee. But his situation is even better, because not only did he not just abruptly quit and go home, he gave adequate notice to his employer and said that even any merchandise that's en route, I will wait until it arrives. Of course he's going to send in the money. That's not the problem. Ve'uvein kishara'a katav ha'nizkar. When Reuven received this letter of resignation, he shivlo, Reuven thought that he would chicken out this guy Shimon, and when he got this letter, he said, "Well, if you don't like your salary, go ahead. I don't care. It doesn't bother me." That's what.
What's being called?
I'm not under any pressure. I paid you $10,000 a year. If that's not enough salary, if you want to quit, I can find somebody else. The Shimon Hasachir, then after Shimon having received this response, Hechin atzmo lachzol leveito alpi tshuvato. So Shimon then, decided that he's packing up his goods and he's going to come home. Ukishenodaha davalu Reuven, when Reuven saw that he couldn't chicken Shimon out by sending him this letter, Chazav katavlo amod bimkomcha, stay put, va'ani mosip al schalcha sachplon, I'll raise your salary. Okay? V'chein asa Shimon, so therefore Shimon agreed to this increase in salary in the middle, v'yashav sham at sof hazman, v'yachar avur hazman shelach lo kol dmei schirato mishalem im ha'tosefet she'osif lo. Okay? Everybody's happy. Now, Reuven has some regrets. Apparently, from the language of this, I assume that Reuven spoke to a lawyer. And now decided that he was going to open the case. The ata baru Reuven v'tovea mishimon kol ha'tosefet haniska. After he's come home and he's paid him, he then decides that I want the raise in salary back. When he promised him the raise in salary, he only meant to trick him to keep him. Since he couldn't find an adequate replacement, he wanted to trick him into staying by promising him this large salary.
But if I could make case after he already paid him,
right? I think this is just some lawyers getting a cut out of hearing this case. Okay. V'harei k'davar avur v'kaim olan tzocher oleyem amota'an. I had no intention ever of going to Venice. And you told me that the cost of living there was low. ואחר שהלכתי שם ונסיתי כמה חדשים וראיתי שאין הדבר כן, כתבתי לך והודית לדבריי. You agree with me that you didn't give me the correct information about the cost of living in Venice. ואם הייתה כוונתך להוט אותי, למה שלחת לי כל סחורי? אם אתה עושה, אחרי עבור הזמן? ועוד, he said, furthermore, היא שווה לי שהייתה כוונתך להוט אותי וטוב. He says, I'll give you back the money, I'll just take a note, take a shvuah that you really intended to trick me, and I'll let God deal with I've told you that I would wait until I receive whatever goods were en route. Ve'emkaram ve'elechu. Old toen Shimon, shelu hunach sh'aya davar avud me'achar sh'motzi po alachar lasot lachtor enu ala ve'ala tarom etumish v'shem v'ayta ve'kerunim, etc. So that's more or less the case. Okay, but the main point is that they had some good lawyers who were able to drag up the appropriate texts in the Gemara, even if they didn't strictly apply to this case. But that gives you a picture of mercantile life in 16th century Turkey and Italy. As I said, the Maharashtam starts off by trying to deal more or less logically with this case, but then towards the middle he says, you know, he just throws his hands up and says that Reuven doesn't have any case here at all, so let's forget it.
How could he really believe that he could?
There are no lawyers at this table?
Yes, there is.
One. I see. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just an unfair lawyer, maybe I should go back to the doctors.
We've gotten away easy this week.
All right.
So far.
Let's see. That's not in the handbook. It should be in here somewhere. Yeah. So let's have a brief interlude into the issue of doctors. The Gemara says in a number of places that if a person is forced to pay an extra salary, gouging in a situation where scarcity and something like that, like for example, a man is trying to escape across the river, he's just managed to get out of jail and he has to get across the river in a fast hurry, and a boatman triples the distortion.
A scalper, right.
Extortion, then there is, the man can promise to pay, and then when it comes payment time, he said, you tried to extort the money from me, I will give you the going wage, and not more. Okay? So, what happens in the exorbitant fees, for example, for a doctor, for instance. So, I don't have the Ramban here. If I knew that I was going to do this, I would have Xeroxed that also. But the Ramban says that if a person is ill and the pharmacist raises a big price on a medicine, right? He triples the bill on the aspirin or the antibiotics or what have you, then that's considered extortion. And the because there's a fixed price for pharmaceuticals, and if a man fixed market price for pharmaceuticals, and if the man triples the price, he doesn't have to pay it, even though he promises to pay it, but he's in under duress, in distress, but he afterwards doesn't. But he says, on the other hand, if the doctor demands an exorbitant fee, he says there's no market price on that because the doctor is charging for his skills. He's charging for his knowledge, and you can't put a fixed price on the knowledge. Therefore, the pharmacist loses, in this case, says the Ramban, but the doctor collects his fee because he's charging for his education, for his expertise.
He's even for a lawyer.
Well, of course, the Ramban was a doctor, so that
the Ramban didn't live under the Clinton Health Plan.
Right. So let me... So the Rivash, in a very interesting shura, that's interesting for other reasons, quotes the Ramban aside, but he says,
you don't have that, right.
He says, the Katava Ramban Zal, Shekein Hadin Bechole, Shenodeir Ba'ad Samanim Yoter Harbei Mishavyan. If a person promises to pay for a pharmaceutical much more than their market price, that he's only obligated to pay, even though he promised to pay much more, he's only obligated to pay the market price, because he promised this payment under duress. It was not a free will agreement on his part. But if someone promises to pay an exorbitant doctor's fee, Akal Pisha Asachei Machmat Ones, even though he did this under the duress, Abachmas Ones Kalyav, Ein Ze Yotem Nishavyav, you can't say that this is more than its value, Shechachmato Machalo. The doctor who is selling his expertise, Vachayav Latet Lo Kol Mashen Adalo Nishalem, and that he has to pay the full doctor's fee. So an exorbitant fee from the pharmacist doesn't have to be paid, but an exorbitant fee from the doctor does have to be paid. Okay? So that was the Ramban. The Radvaz, writing in 17th century, writes, is a little more cautious about giving this kind of a carte blanche to the doctors. Sha'alti mimeni odiyacha da'ati v'ruvein shachala v'tzarech trufot v'samanim v'lo nimtzu'u ele v'yad echad. He needed certain medication, and there was only one man in town who had this medication. V'he'elabed mehem, and he raised the price. V'chein tzarech l'rofei, and he needed a doctor. V'lo nimtza sham ele zehar rofei mubhak. There was only this one expert doctor. And he only wanted to provide his services with a high fee. How much does he have to pay? Does he have to pay the full price the full doctor's fee, or does he have to pay what a normal medical man's fee is under those circumstances? Shuba. A man was escaping from jail, and there was a river in front of him. He said to the ferryman, take this dinar and get me across. At the other side, he only has to pay the normal crossing fee. The time of the milton, he can say, I was only trying to trick you because he was under duress. That is, he says, is as far as the pharmacist is concerned. He doesn't have to pay more than the going rate for the pharmaceutical, even if he agreed and promised to pay more under duress. Any person who agrees to a higher fee than the normal price because he's under duress can say that I didn't really mean it. That applies equally well to a person who gets pharmaceuticals because of the pressure of illness. So that's the quotation from the Ramban. The Ramban is introducing this principle that there is no fixed price for doctor services because each individual doctor has his own expertise.
For the pharmacy is a fixed price.
Pharmacy
is. Once learned that if you want to sell your watch, if you have any money for money you want for it, but if you break it, you only have to pay the fair market value.
That's right. And the question here is, you see, since there's no free exchange, because one party is under duress.
So if I want to have $1 million for this watch.
Yeah, well, no one's going to buy it from me.
But he needs it.
Well, but the question is, when a person is under duress, you're taking undue advantage. And that type of a market agreement, we don't want to enforce. We don't want to enforce a situation where, you know, when there's a hurricane and people are gouging the prices because there's a gas shortage. In a situation where people are under duress, even though they may agree to pay more than the market price, they're not obligated to pay it when the pressure is off. But at any rate, the Ramban says that that may apply to objects that have a discernible market value. But since expertise... In a situation where this is the only doctor in town who's equipped to deal with this illness, nira li shafilo Ramban zal modeh she'ein lo ela skaro bilvah. Sheharei hu zal katzav letareit bekol mitzvat asei dorami akulu ya'oma. If the situation that you say that this, why doesn't somebody that is a mitzvah to sell to save the patient's life, the doctor can say, let the other doctor do it. And if he wants my services, he's going to pay. But if he's the only doctor in town, he took the oath, so to speak, it's a mitzvah from the Torah, he cannot simply say, you pay my price, or I'm going to let you die. Okay. The Tali time of Mishum Dali Mitzvah Ram Yakulia, or Muhimidan the Dan, Kevan Shaim Mumchekamo, Alav Lokude Ram Yalorapot Ulahatsil, Yumlohitsil Avara Mitzvata Se, Lukach Elo Eloskaro, Vim Natanlo Dabar, and Yamav Natan Shematanag Nurai Motsim Yodo, Vim Natan Tesha Hashav Shumukuyav, and Adil Retain Havi Matanabata Uda Motsim Menu, Vim Yesha Mumchim Acherim Datino Tel Sokidat Shah Makashim the Elo Eloskaro. He says, even if there are other doctors in town, I tend to agree with the other opinions, not for the Ramban, that the doctor is allowed to charge any fee that he likes. There has to be some limitation on doctors' fees. Mim Natan Kvar Ein V'Yadenu Koach La'otzi Mimenu Shikvar Ho Raha.
Is there any comment anywhere that his Fakmor is going to pay himself? What if the patient doesn't get better than his Fakmor?
I never heard of the doctor's giving up on his fees when the patient
dies. That's why I say the patient died, you still want to collect, right? There's no Fakmor, you're losing the patient.
Right. No. Okay, so apparently, you see, I think that one sees also here the development that even though the Ramban had introduced this principle of expertise not being you cannot fix the market for an expertise, a couple of hundred, 200 or 300 years later, the Ramban, who was not a doctor by profession,
having second place.
Right, okay. So that was just to get at the doctors in addition to the lawyers. But we'll have to continue with some of our examples of what is a Safir and what is a Poel.
Bring this next week.
Yes, please bring this next week. Now, there will be a Shiur next week, but 2 weeks from tonight, Thursday, is a Harvard. No, it's not Thanksgiving, it's Veterans Day or something. Right, so we won't have a Shiur that night because Harvard is on vacation, so Aviva and I are going to take a little 4 or 5 days of vacation.
You probably heard the ethical questions that we're getting at over the point of the
Right things, right?
Yeah.
You can make it in.